Blog Talk Radio.
They call me Mr. Motivator, and it's my stage name. I also perform, not only motivational speaking, but I also perform stand-up comedy. And I'm looking a whole society today, and I want to say to you, there are just right. You see, so many of us have a lot inside of us, but for some
welcome, everyone. You've just tuned in to the Mr. Motivated Show. I'm your host, Dwight Jeffrey, reminding you that success is yours. If you dare to dream and keep thinking big, you will discover your purpose in life. So don't you go anywhere. Stay right there, because we got a great show for you today. And I got something I want to say to everybody that just tuned in, whether you're first time are you a regular a person that visits to the show? Put down that piece of chicken and that potato salad, because it's time for you to get some motivation and some inspiration. But before we get started, we would like for you to check out our show and find out where I'm performing or what's going on with me, Mr. Motivator. Just go to my blog, which is dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. That's dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, and that is at C Mr. Motivator. The letter C as in cow, MRMOTIVATOR. And if you'd like to be with us on a live broadcast, feel free to join in with us by dialing area code 323-580-5712. Again, thanks for tuning in to the broadcast today. Used cars. Pick one. Shopping for a car can be a harrowing experience without the proper knowledge that one needs to determine what to look for. Mr. Motivator and guest will explore how to not be a victim of buying a lemon and how to price your purchase to fit your budget. We all have to have transportation sometimes. Sometimes we're in places that are a little remote and we need a vehicle. And it's great to have our transit system, but in order to get around, we need good transportation. I don't know about you, but there's been a few times that I've purchased lemons in my life. And we want you to pick the best car with the best engine, the car that will get you to where you need to go. Or if you have that student in college or high school and you have a budget to make and you maybe can't buy that expensive car what they need or that they would like, and you want to teach them responsibility, how to work and take care of what you have and appreciate that, then you can move on to something bigger and better. Well, folks, get your pens and paper out, because we have a guest who's going to help us conquer those dragons and those lemons when it comes to cars. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me a great pleasure to interview and to have on our show today Steve Williams. Steve is going to share with us how we can get around these things. Hello, Steve. How are you today? And welcome to the Mr. Motivate Show.
Well, good day, Mr. Motivate. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Okay, I just want to let you know, we have a lot of ground to cover, so I just want to get kind of to the point, but I want to give you a little background about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the late 80s, I actually owned my own used car lot,
mm-hmm.
where I bought and sold cars and went to auctions and did that for about 5 years. Upon leaving that business, I did other things, but more recently, I have bought and sold cars off the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
this show is really going to be about used cars, not new cars.
Okay.
Because that's what I've had the most experience with.
Yes.
And what we're going to get into is how to decide how to check out these cars so that you have a better chance of getting something that is a really nice vehicle for the money that you spend on it. There's a couple things you need to do first.
Okay.
First, you got to pick out what type of car do I want.
Okay.
You know, do I want to buy that from a person or a dealership? Am I going to pay cash for it?
Mm-hmm.
Those are all decisions that you need to make.
Yes.
Now, once you get the type of car you think you want, you need to do a little research on that car.
Okay.
So you want to do some research in finding out, is my choice a good choice? Now, how do you think you do that?
That's a good question. See, there's my neighbor who wants me to buy his car,
mm-hmm.
and he says it's a great car. But I'm thinking, if it's that great, why is he trying to get with it? You know, why is he trying to get rid of
right.
it? Now, how do we get there? Or there's this good-looking car that's been sitting on the car lot for a while,
mm-hmm.
and the price looks pretty good. But why has that car been sitting there for 7 or 8 months?
Right.
So tell me something.
A lot of that could be, you know, your friend could have just bought another car, or he came into that car, another car, and doesn't want that car anymore.
Okay.
It doesn't say whether it's good or bad.
Okay.
And on the car lot, well, they move a lot of different inventory, so they have a lot of different vehicles out there. Now, we'll discuss a little bit about market factors, and market factors are
mm-hmm.
things, trends in the market that make certain cars move while other ones don't.
Okay.
It doesn't mean it's a bad car. It could mean that maybe it's priced too high.
Yes.
Maybe people don't think it's worth it.
Okay.
But it also could just mean that the traffic on that particular car lot is not applicable to that car. Most of the people that come in there don't want that type of car.
Mm.
It doesn't mean you shouldn't buy it. It just means that most people that come on that lot aren't looking for that particular type of car. So it's a slow mover on his lot. It could go to a lot across town
mm-hmm.
and become a fast mover.
Okay.
Because different group of people come over to that lot. But yet a car lot wants to attract all kinds of people, so it wants to have all kinds of vehicles on there.
Okay, I got you. All right. Well, now here's the car. And the car looks good. Now, Steve, if I don't know too much about cars or engines, and the guy's like, hey, if you get that car, I'm going to make a deal for you now, but you got to move pretty swiftly because the little lady from Pasadena is heading this direction.
Yeah, well, I've heard all that.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Little lady from Pasadena, and this school teacher only drove that car for one day a week to the library and back, and that's why it's only got that many miles on it. And or the favorite one I like is they always say, you know, we're going to make a deal today to close this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bottom dollar is you go down any road in Dallas, Fort Worth. How many car lots do you see?
Tons of them.
So if you don't have time to get this car because you need to do some research on it,
okay,
and you come back and it's gone, then you just go find another car like that, another car dealership,
okay.
or from another individual.
Yes.
Because they're all made basically about the same.
Thank you.
So that way, that stops that right there. If someone
okay.
asks you, we need you to give us a $100 deposit to hold that car, non-refundable
yeah.
deposit.
Yeah, and I've heard that too.
Yeah, you say, no. You know, I'm going to go do the research on this car. If this car is here when I come back, then I'm going to buy it. If it's not, I might have to pick another one that maybe a year older or year newer.
Wow.
Same body style.
Yes.
And that takes that situation away because they're always trying to do that. So now you've got your car all picked out, and now you got to do some basic research. And the way, though most of my car purchases have been for cars that I drive and then sell, so I don't do all of the things that a normal consumer would do.
Okay.
But I'm knowledgeable in that area. And the first thing I would do if I was a consumer is I would go down to the library.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, on the car that I picked out, and I would get consumer's reports. Because consumer reports down in the research area of the library does use cars all the time. And they do them for a couple years old, and they can show you what ones have good mechanical history, what ones don't. what ones are the best value, what ones aren't. If I was going to pick out a car in today's market, I would go to Consumers Reports first.
Okay.
Find their recommendations first on four or five models.
Yes.
And then say, okay, now I'm going to go out on the market on these four or five models.
Okay.
And see what's good, what's going on with them.
Wow, that's a great idea. Most people don't think about going to the library, and that's free information, right?
Free information.
Wow.
You go down there and just say, I want Consumer Reports, used cars, report, and they'll pull it right out for you.
Wow. That is awesome. Okay, now what's the next step after you go through the Consumer Report and you find that car? Hey, this is what I want. This is what my daughter wants.
Okay, so you got a car. Let's just throw out an example there. You decide you want a 2005 Honda Accord.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to do some research on that car before you go to buy it anywhere. You need to do some research.
Okay.
You do research on that car by going to the internet is one place.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to autotrader.com.
Okay.
You pull in the model of that car into the web and pull up what people are. When AutoTrader comes up, it's going to ask you what model, what price range, everything like that. So you put that model in and put your price range in, and that'll tell you whether you can get that year model with the amount of money you want to spend right off the bat.
Wow.
Make sure you check dealers and individuals for the search. And that pulls up dealers and individuals both who are selling the cars.
Wow.
So if you go, let's say you go to autotrader.com,
mm-hmm.
and you do a search on 2005 Honda, and you mm-hmm. put $5,000 in there.
Okay.
And no cars come up.
Okay.
Well, that tells you, you know, you didn't do your search right. You said, I only got $5,000 for a car. You should be looking for a 1998 Honda, maybe.
Okay.
And not a 2005 mm-hmm. Honda. So you got to make sure you've got an idea of that market
mm-hmm.
before you do a little bit of that research, and you could do that easily by just, like I said, get on the internet and finding out what cars are going for what.
Now, I like that idea because I think because of people not going and getting that information about the prices, they may end up paying for a car that's overpriced.
Correct.
Wow.
That's not the only research you do.
Okay.
So you got autotrader.com and you have an idea
okay.
of what cars are selling for in the Dallas area
yes.
for that 2005 Honda.
Okay.
Then you got to go to NADA.com.
Oh, NADA.
NADA.com
okay.
is the National Auto Dealers Association, who I don't know if people are familiar with this term or not, but you just go on a car lot and they say, we're going to look at the Blue Book value.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today people think of Blue Book and they think of Kelley Blue Book. A long time ago, that blue book was used for the NADA car values
mm-hmm.
because that was what most banks went by, NADA.
Yeah, that's why I heard the term at one of my bankers.
That's right, and it has a blue stripe on it, so they called it the blue book. It was orange and blue.
Right.
So you go there and you look up your Honda, and they'll tell you average trade-in, bad, you know, rough trade-in, average retail. Okay? And you can even do that search on the internet. You don't have to go buy the book. You just go on the internet to NADA.com,
mm-hmm.
and it'll tell you to put in your zip code, and it'll pull that up. Now, I've bought and sold cars for the last 5 years, cars that I've driven and tagged and bought them off the internet.
Yeah.
And there's another one out there called Kelley Blue Book.
Okay, Kelley.
A lot of people go by Kelley Blue Book. I've looked at Kelley Blue Book prices, but most of the cars I've ever sold have sold within the trade-in and the retail price of the NADA values.
Mm-hmm.
Kelley Blue Book is just another source for you to have more information out.
Okay.
So now you've got your car picked out. You got an idea of what market trends are because both of these used car lots, I know NADA for sure, ask your zip code. So it's giving you prices that are within your zip code area.
Yes.
So now you got that. So now you need to go try to get your car. So you want to go to either a dealership or an individual. It doesn't really matter. It's just whatever you feel comfortable with. So you do a search in those areas for the price of your car.
Okay.
You find your car. Now you've got it found. So let's talk about two different scenarios here.
Okay, go ahead.
So let's say you're buying from an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you're buying from an individual. So you find the individual, you meet with them, and they got the 2005 Honda, and you're looking at it. What do you think are some of the things you ought to ask that individual?
Did they have any major repairs, or they have mechanical problems with it that had to be fixed? How much mileage, or how old, how long have they had the car? And is it a good car?
Those are all very good questions, and those are all ones that should be asked.
Okay.
The thing that I do whenever I buy a car from anywhere is the first thing I look at, is the car inspected? So I do an exterior walk on the outside.
Okay.
Does it have a current inspection sticker on it? Because that tells me, if it does, that the car has been inspected every year as up to standards, running standards, with that inspection process.
Okay.
And then I look at there's another sticker on the windshield right by the inspection sticker that's the license for your license plate where you've registered it.
Oh, yeah.
Is that current, too? Or is that, you know, both of those are expired and old, and let's say this 2500 you're looking at, the last time it was tagged was 2003. What does that tell you?
Oh, that tells you that no one's really done anything with that car. It's been sitting.
It could have tire rot from the tire sitting in one place. You don't know if it's been driven or not. If those are not current, this next question I would ask immediately, even though I would also ask it any time I buy a car, because those two problems right there, not being current, have flagged it for me that, is this really your car? You're talking to this individual.
Mm-hmm.
Is this car tagged in your name? Because how do I know it's tagged in his name?
Wow, that's a good question, because I had a friend who had that same problem. He bought a car, purchased one for his daughter, and he thought he was getting it from the individual who he bought it from, but the case was it wasn't that guy's car.
That's right.
He picked the car up somewhere and was selling it.
That's right, and that's illegal for people to do, honestly.
Uh-huh.
If they buy a car, they're supposed to tag it in their name. But what a lot of people do is they go buy a car and they tell the people, leave the title blank on the back. Don't sign it off into anybody's name. And then they go resell that car. I think you would want to try to avoid those people because they have no real history of that car.
Yes.
Now, there is a little exception to that rule. If you ask them that question, they say, no, it's not my car. It's my father's car, and I'm selling it for him, or my uncle's car. But then you say, okay, what's that guy's phone number? Because I want to talk to him directly.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say, well, he doesn't have a phone, or stay away from it, you know the guy is not being quite honest with you.
Okay. So the red flag should go up.
That's right.
Wow.
So now let's say we've gotten past that point to where the guy says, yeah, it's tagged in my name, and the inspection sticker was good, and the license is sticker was good.
Yeah.
So then you want to do just a casual walk around the car on the outside.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to look at the tires. Are they wearing uneven?
Mm-hmm.
Is there some baldness on the inside or something where the rest of the tire looks good? That could tell you front end problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk around the rest of the car. Does the car's paint look good? Do all the windows look good? Do they look like they have good seals, if they aren't cracked or anything like that?
Okay.
If they have tin on them, you know, a lot of people put this tin on them that's not tin, it's like a stick-on stuff.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that, and it just peels and messes.
Peels, got bubbles all in it.
Yes.
Was that stuff done right? Because if it wasn't done right, you got to realize that if you buy that, you might have to pull that off, and that might be a job that you might have to pay someone to do if you don't want it on there.
Yeah, I heard you. And all those little costs could add up here and there.
Correct. So now you walk around that car and you say, okay, now I want to start it. Well, hold on. Wait a minute. Now, before you start it, what do you think you ought to do?
Before I start it?
Yeah.
Look at the engine.
Look at the engine, but more importantly, you want to pull that dipstick.
That's right. Check that oil.
Because if you start it and try to check the oil in, you got a quart of oil in the head. So you can't get a good reading of
that.
Gotcha.
So always check that oil before you start.
Before you start the engine, check the oil.
That is awesome.
So you get that oil checked, you want to look at the oil. You know, does the oil look clean? if you pull out a dipstick, it's got a bunch of smell of gasoline or some other unusual smell on it, there'd be a concern there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's just say the old dipstick looks clean. It's an automatic transmission car. You don't want to check the transmission fluid because most transmissions have to be checked when they're hot and running. You check the power steering fluid. You look at the water levels. Make sure your level in your water in your radiator looks good, everything like that. Then you close the hood. You're ready to fire it up. So you fire that car up, see how it sounds.
Okay, then fire the car.
So now you've got it running.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you want to check everything. Don't get it in and drive it and say, this is a good car. You know, you want to check, do all the indicators work? Do the hazard lights come on? Does the air work?
And I think I'm guilty that I purchased a car one time, and we thought everything was running great, and then when the car stopped out in the middle of the highway, it had no hazard lights.
There you go. And it's just a simple little 10-second check.
Yes.
So you make yourself a list before you go.
Okay.
When I go buy a car at, mm-hmm. On the internet, they always show pre-inspections before you bid on them.
Yes.
And I have a list, so I go check those indicators, turn them on, get outside the car, walk, make sure the front and back. Don't listen to, you know, I'm not saying don't trust the people.
Okay.
But you don't know whether it's true or not unless you see it, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I get out of the car. Is this left one working in the front? Is the left one working in the back? Is the right one working in the front? Is the right one working in the back? Turn on the hazards. Do they work? Do the windshield wipers work? You know, turn on the air conditioner. Is that air conditioner blowing cold? Is it blowing in the right place?
Now you're right. It's funny. You're mentioning things like this, but I've seen people get in situations, and I recall once when I was in college. There was a friend named Big Mike. Big Mike had purchased bought a car, and we went to a show together on campus. And then when it was time to go, he said, "Hey, Jeffrey, you can ride with me." And a rainstorm just came in out of nowhere. We got in Big Mike's car. I was kind of happy, you know.
Yeah.
He cranked it up. And then as the rain started pouring down, he looked over at me and said, "Well, don't just look at me. Get your arm out and take like a windshield wiper like mine." And I got my new suit and my hat wet up and everything.
Yeah.
Because Big Mike bought a car that didn't have windshield wipers.
It was a 5-second check to flip that switch. And, boy, your coat would have been been dry and not
yeah.
Warm. It's been wet and cold. And old Big Mike would have had to take out the car.
That's right.
That's all it would have taken. So now you've got the windshield wipers checked, the
yes.
indicators, everything, the air checked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something I've actually forgot about myself, and it
yes.
cost me some money.
Mm-hmm.
You turn the air off, all this time the car's running, because you want to check the temperature gauge and make sure that gauge is not going up. So it's got to run for a while to get hot. But more importantly, you want to flip it over on heat now, even if it's July. You want to flip it over on heat because someday in December, you're going to need that heater. You want to make sure it works. There's nothing worse than paying $10,000 for a car, and come December, you got to pay for a heater core to be pulled out and put in because it's all plugged up, and then you got to have your whole radiator system flushed and everything like
that. Yeah, they will eat you alive.
That cost is expensive these days, especially on front-wheel drive cars, because cars are not like they used to be 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more complicated to get in there and work on them and take things out, and that costs hours and hours, costs you money, especially if you're a mechanic shop, because they're charging an hourly rate of overhead and all.
And if you're not careful, you will have spent more than what the car is actually worth trying to have all this stuff done.
That's right. So you want to check all those things and make sure they look right.
Now, my cousin bought a car, and the gas gauge didn't work.
There you go.
I bought one, a truck, and the speedometer didn't work.
That's right. So you got to look at all that stuff when you go for your test drive.
Okay.
How does it drive?
Yes.
Is the speedometer working? Is the mileage odometer turning over? If it's digital, is it working? Is it... You know, you want to make sure it's set on the right thing and pay
mm-hmm.
attention to it, because it could be set on trip OD.
Yeah.
And so it's really got like 188 miles on there or something. So you want to flip that to the regular mileage And then, you know, you remember, gee, this guy said there was 205,000 miles on this car, but he's showing 215. You know, you just want to pay attention to those things. All that stuff can help you in the negotiation of the price.
Man, you are right. And you know one thing I think about too, Steve, and this is something I've kind of learned on my own. When you when you're checking out these cars, you should even check out the seats when you sit down inside the car.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's a person had that car who had serious back problems, and they've been sitting in that chair
a certain way,
and you get in there, and you all of a sudden you're driving, you're sideways, and your back is being pushed out of alignment of the same way that person's back
that
had that car.
That's right. You want to check all that stuff.
Okay.
You know, when I'm checking the interior, after I've got all the indicators, you know, I kind of do this visually while I'm in there doing the indicators and all that stuff. I'm just kind of looking around at the floor. Is there any stains? Does the carpet look good? How's the brake pedal look? How's the gas pedal look? How do the seals around the door look? How do the seals around the windshield look? How does the seat next to me look? Then I get out and look at the back. How does that look?
Yeah.
You know, and you also need to kind of just glance at the door panels.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, I've seen people trying to sell cars before where I go and I open up the door and here's the electronic controls for the windows dangling out there. Or the door, you can tell the door panel's been pulled off. Well, why has that door panel been pulled off?
Yeah.
What's going on with that? Also, the car has electric windows.
Okay.
You want to roll each and every one of those down while you're sitting there and roll them back up.
Okay.
You know, because there might be one of them that doesn't work. And to get an electric window, last time I had an electric window replaced on a car I bought, it was $100. $50 for the part and $50 for the labor. And that wasn't at a shop. That was a friend of mine doing it.
Wow.
So it could be even higher at a shop.
$100.
That's right.
So all these things you can discover, say if the window doesn't work or the electric window doesn't come up, will you be able to negotiate and maybe try to get the price down because you...
Well, I would.
Okay.
You know, I would ask him, what's wrong with that window? Don't let him tell you that it just quit working today or it's just a fuse or something like that. Because if he says it's just a fuse, say, well, let's get a fuse and get that fixed.
Yeah.
And you see some people's whole expression change when you do that. You know, so now you've got that done. And now you're saying, okay, this guy wants as much for this car, and, you know, I've looked up my prices, and let's just talk a little scenario here. Oh, excuse me, we need to go back a little bit. You haven't really gone for a test drive, so you back out, go for a test drive. You want to make sure how that car drives. If it's automatic, which that's what I can speak most of on my experience is automatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to put in some scenarios where you go forward and reverse and forward and reverse and see how that transmission kicks in and out. You know, if
this is a transmission problem, it's going to act up pretty soon.
Well, you know, you might be able to hear it like hitting hard.
Yeah.
Jerking.
Yeah, but it makes that noise.
You know, and those are things to be concerned about.
Okay.
Because before you buy any car, if you're a consumer, you should have a mechanic and you should take it to a mechanic and say, these are the things that I noticed in my first inspection of it. I want this checked out. You know, I have a little more experience, so if a transmission was jerking on me and I pulled the dipstick and I saw metal flakes in the transmission fluid, I already have a good idea what that means. That could be a serious problem. It could mean that the transmission is deteriorating, and I don't know if I want to buy that car or not.
But those transmissions aren't cheap either, are they?
Oh, no. Today's transmissions... You know, when I had my car a lot, it was in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You can get I had mechanics that did things out of their house that could fix the transmission for me for a couple $100.
Yeah.
You can't get one touch today for under probably $1,200,
$1,500. Wow.
Because they got overdriving.
Yeah.
And all these cars are front-wheel drive.
Mm.
And that changes the complexity of the situation.
Yes.
And that means more hours, more man hours, more charge.
Wow.
On that deal, so it could be very expensive.
Well, thank you for sharing it with us. I am so glad you decided to come on the show and talk about cars, because I think sometimes we as consumers have no idea of how a car can zap your mind. There are people right now probably listened to this show for probably before they've retired or near retirement, and they've watched close to $1 million pass through their hand just by cars.
Oh, yeah. Cars can be expensive. They're a great thing.
Yes.
So now we've got, you're gone on the drive and you're happy with it.
Oh, now one other thing, now, this is just me.
Okay.
When you notice a bunch of little holes in the seat when you get in the car.
Yes.
I have a suspicion that somebody might have been smoking reefer in there.
Smoking some hooch. Smoking some hooch.
Yeah, they were smoking some hooch, and they got these little.
Yeah, they want to get rid of that car.
Yeah,
they got evidence.
Yeah.
And then they say, oh, by the way, if the police follow you off the block,
whew,
thank God, because I won't have to worry about them in a car. Because you got that car that they've been following all these
that's
years.
Right. So we got to watch that. And if there's any bloodstain, we need to be careful there, too, right?
That's right. Hey, check the truck and make sure there ain't nobody back there.
Oh, man, now that would be terrifying.
Yeah.
You're driving, you get out the car one night, look behind, and there's a body.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Get down there, get stopped, the policeman says, what's that hand doing poking out of that truck there, bro? You got to come on downtown with me.
Yeah, that'd be awful. Now, so the other question I want to ask you, I think you mentioned about mechanic. Now,
yeah.
After you've taken the car for a test drive and all that, where does the mechanic come in? Say, for instance, you like the car, now that you take it to your mechanic to look at after you've
flagged? That's right.
Okay.
So now you've got the car done. And I want to talk a little bit here about price before we go into
No, go ahead.
Okay, so let's say you're at this car lot and you say a 2005 Honda ought to be worth, let's just say $10,000.
Yeah.
But they're asking $12,500 for it. Well, what do you think that's about?
That means something's wrong or something's happened for them to bring the price all the way down like that.
Oh, do you say it's worth $10,000? They're asking $12,500, so it's $2,000.
Oh, you mean
$500?
They're asking more.
Right.
Yeah, so that means that they want to try to get them a little extra money from them.
That could be something. That could be true. Whether you're at a car lot or an individual, a dealership, there are certain things called market factors. Now, we talked a little bit about that earlier in the show. We're going to elaborate on that a little bit, and this is what market factors are.
Okay.
For instance, in North Texas, pickup trucks sell like wildfire. I mean, you just go out on the street anywhere. How many trucks you see?
Tons of them.
Tons of them.
People love trucks.
You think, gee, we must move every week.
Everyone's moving.
Because everyone's got a truck, and they got 10 kids and a wife, and try to fit everybody in one truck.
Well, one guy told me that I worked with, he said, that's the American dream, have that truck.
Have a truck.
I'm going to get the big truck.
That's a market factor right there.
Okay.
Everybody wants a truck.
Yeah.
So you got more people wanting to buy a truck.
Yeah.
Simply market is supply and demand. Supply and demand means if you only got 100 trucks and you got 300 people wanting trucks, you can get a higher price for them.
Yeah, you should eat.
So if you go to a car lot or a dealer or an individual and they say, gee, we want $12,000 for that Honda, and you think it's only, you looked it up on NADA, it should only be selling for $10,000.
Yeah.
You got to decide. Well, you know, is that worth that to me?
Okay, that's a good question. It's $10,000, and they're selling it for
$12,000.
For $12,000, and you say you got to decide. When you say decide, does that mean, do you wait until you can find one at a better price closer to the $10,000, or do you have to have it right away?
No, that's just each individual's decision.
Okay.
Say they've been looking for a car for a while, and this one is checked out, and they were ready to take it to the mechanic. Well, you know, in that first preliminary, you would have known it was a little overpriced when you got there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to decide, is that $12,000, is that worth it to me? Maybe I can get them down to $11,500.
Okay.
Is that worth it to me?
Now, you just answered my question because that was my thought, why trucks sell higher than the cars. And it's seldom can you find a truck running cheaper than a car.
Yeah, not only that, a lot of trucks that are cheap have hundreds of thousands of miles on them.
Yes.
And they're still going for a price that you would think you would pay for something that was newer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just market tendencies. You know, a while back, this was about 20 years ago when my dad went to go buy a Plymouth minivan. That was when they were first out.
Yeah.
They were getting full sticker price for them because everybody wanted a Plymouth minivan,
mm-hmm.
and that was the newest thing.
Yeah, that was it.
That was it back then, and so people would come out. My dad would go, and they'd say, "Oh, well, we want full sticker. What, you can't move off that one?" Well, it wasn't worth that to him, so he waited a couple of years, so he bought one.
Wow.
So that's just a market factor.
Okay.
And so that allows them to do that because those trucks move fast, just like Honda used cars move fast.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things. And, you know, it's funny because you could go to New Mexico and trucks might not sell as fast.
Right.
Or New York and trucks might not sell as fast. So it might be cheaper prices up there. But who's going to go from Dallas to New York to buy a used car?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Wow. Be a nice road trip, but come
yeah.
on.
And I've always heard that used cars really have a higher markup than the new cars.
Yeah, well, they have a higher markup sometimes than what they're worth, depending upon those market factors. So,
what if you have one of those car dealers, and he motivates his salespeople and says, "Hey, get it as high as you can, make as much money as you can, and that's more money for your honey."
Okay, well, that's a very true point. And a lot of those guys probably have a lot of honeys, but they need to give a lot of money, too. But the simple fact is, again, how many car dealers are there in Dallas-Fort Worth?
Oh, man, you can't even count on this one.
If that guy ain't going to go with your road, there's always another Honda, another truck. You know, it might not be the same color. It might have 5,000 extra more miles on it. You might find one that has 5,000 less miles on it.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's always another place
okay,
to go
you.
Get a car.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think the guy's not being square and fair,
yeah,
adios, muchachos,
okay.
out the door. Say, no, I don't want to deal with you.
Yeah, I think some of them, a lot of them are very fair because once you go in and you look at their prices and like you say, you know what they're selling in the book, and then
right.
they're way beyond that. I've even priced the car. It was like $5,000 or $10,000 more than what was in the book.
There you go.
But they're waiting for somebody.
A lot of people. This is something we should talk about because a lot of people.
Yeah.
Don't do this research.
And that's why they get.
And they come into a car lot and just say, "I want to pay $199 a month."
Yeah.
Well, okay, they can make you pay $199 for 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or 5 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that means the difference price of the car.
What?
So, because, you know, if you just want to say $199 a month, well, then they could put you in a certain price car for $199 a month for 2 years or 3 years.
Yeah.
Or they can move you up in a newer model in a more expensive car for $199 a month for 4 or 5 years. So, you really want to get price down. And if you're concerned about what your payments are going to be, you know, if you don't have a lot of credit or
mm-hmm.
good credit,
yeah.
you can go online and go to any bank's website, and they will have a payment calculator for a loan.
Wow.
And you can put that in there and get your payment set. Like, I'm going to borrow $10,000. I think I'm going to pay 6% interest. Boom. Or I don't say you have $5,000, you're just going to buy a car, and you don't worry about payment.
I'm so happy you're covering this, Steve. I just want to just say amen because there are tons of car dealers that say, "Hey, we got these cars, and we provide financing."
Right.
And
they
when
will.
You go through some of the dealer financing, I mean, it's almost like dealing with going through a loan shark because they're at from 29 on up to 35 interest. On their loan.
They have many, many, many floor
yeah.
packages.
And one guy I ran into, he told me he financed his car for 7 years.
Yeah.
See, why would
7 years.
Yeah, why would you finance a car for 7 years, Steve?
Well, I would. And if any of your listeners out there have, I don't mean to offend you, but I wouldn't. But, you know, that's what people want to pay, a certain payment.
Oh, and guess what? And then another guy, he told me he got his financed, I think, like 6 years. But he said one day he was late with the payment, and he was with the baby, and it was at the grocery store. And he went to get some milk. And he said when he got in the car and he put his key in the ignition, it wouldn't start. They shut his car down at the store with him and his baby because he was late on his payment.
There you go. They can do it.
And then he said they came late on that night and repoed his car.
There you go. They can do it. You got to understand.
They can do that.
You got to understand what. I think one payment is a little extreme. And
yeah,
whether it's really one payment behind or not,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he said he was one payment. He said his check was he said his check was late getting to him on his job.
I know when I had my dealership, my used car lot, if people would just call me, and I was fine with it. You know,
wow.
They could be late.
Yeah.
But if they got, you know, you got to understand people.
Mm-hmm.
People say things.
Yeah,
they don't always do it.
Yeah, they don't always, they may be 2 or 3 months behind.
That's right. Or they don't want to tell you that because they're embarrassed about it or something. So they say, I was just one payment behind. I don't know what the guy's problem was. I've had to go and take people's cars. It's not a pleasant thing. But everyone needs to remember, if you financed a car, is that your car?
It's not your car.
It's not your car?
It's not your car.
Not
until it's paid off.
And that guy has a right to get his property back
if
you decide not to make payments.
And I can respect that. But my wife and I, we experienced a situation. We bought this car, and I was like a couple of days late because I started working at this school, and they were late with processing checks. My kids and I got ready to leave out. They said, Daddy, the car's stolen. The car was gone.
Mm-hmm.
The guy had taken the car. I called him up and everything and told him what had happened. So he said, okay, you can come and get the car. But we got to charge you for the repo fee because we had to pay the repo man to come out and get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to pay this man $1,000 just to get my car
right.
And everything. But I paid him the $1,000, but I thought that was a little bit steep. But like
it
you say, some
steep.
Of them aren't as honest as you. They
it is steep, and so that's another thing you know you should probably talk to when you're at the dealership. You know, what is y'all's policy if
okay.
I miss a payment?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a grace period?
Okay.
Do I have time if something should happen?
Yes.
And I don't have that money. Can I call you and be 5 days late or 7 days late or 8 days late? You know, most banks, when you borrow money from them, if you borrow it from your personal bank or credit union, they have a policy in there that you know, they aren't going to repossess your car if you're late unless you just, you know, get so far behind that they have to take the property.
You're right.
They're going to charge you a late fee.
Yeah, but they try to work with you.
They try to work with you, and they tell you what those late fees are. So you need to. Another thing is you know, mm-hmm. I've never done that. So I don't have to worry about it, but I've never done this, but I've experienced people who have, and they buy the maintenance package, and they buy the on-road assistance, and all the stuff.
Yes,
the
I have a friend that does that.
Okay, well, that adds, let me tell you, that $1,000, that $1,400 they charge for all that stuff, that goes into your loan, and you're financing your loan, that $1,400, you know. So let's say you get roadside assistance.
Okay.
You buy the financial package. It says, what happens if I'm laid off? I want to be protected if I'm laid off. So they sell you this insurance policy against being laid off that'll make your payments for you.
Right. That'll make you, you get that one.
All those have charges, and those charges can add up, and that's not coming off the price of the car. That's on top of the price of the car.
Wow. So they're digging a hole for themselves and may not realize
that. You know, I knew a guy who did that. He ended up. This was a long time ago. So when you could buy a Ranger truck for about $6,500 brand new, and he ended up paying about $8,500 for it, another $2,000 in extra add-on and protection that he was paying interest on because he didn't pay cash for those extra add-ons of protection. So they went into his loan. And he lived in a state that could charge up to 17% interest, so he's paying 17% interest over the term of that loan on that stuff.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Man, that's terrible.
Serious as a heart attack.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
So we got to watch out for that kind of
stuff. So you got to, you know, do you want all that stuff?
Yeah.
You know, me, myself, I would go in if I was buying it from a dealership, and if they said, you want roadside assistance? I'll say, no, because I'm going to join AAA or something like that for $52, $60 a year, it'll give you roadside assistance and not $500. You know, you got to understand dealerships.
Yeah.
If you're at a dealership, they have a higher cost of things, and everything you buy from them is more expensive.
Oh, yeah.
There's also some substitutes, some things you can buy out in public that are away from the dealership, like that roadside assistance. A lot of insurance companies, if you're buying insurance from them, they have roadside assistance.
Oh, yeah, they got theirs added on there.
Yeah.
Now, so.
So you can get it in different ways.
Yes.
So now let's say you've got your car all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And you've decided what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go and get it. And you've checked if it's tagged in your name, that the engine sounds good, everything like that. Now you want to take it to the mechanic. So you take it to the mechanic and you point out the things that were wrong, that you felt were wrong, and make sure that he examines those things and gives you a report. Now, what do you think if you ask the guy or a car lot, well, I'm going to take this vehicle to a mechanic. They said, well, you know, we have a mechanic here. Or the individual said, well, I have a mechanic. Well, would you use their mechanic?
That's right. I mean, I've had my mechanic for over 25 years now, so I'm comfortable with my mechanic. I know him. But
right.
I don't really know
the
guy's mechanic at this place.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
At a dealership, who's paying that mechanic's wages?
The dealer is.
That's right. So who do you think he's first going to be honest with?
To his boss.
To his boss.
Yes.
And whether he would do that purposely or not, I'm not saying that.
Right.
I'm just saying that he has a certain, you know, loyalty there.
Yeah, there, you're right. There's
a
loyalty, and he feels obligated.
Feels obligated, correct.
To cater to his boss
more than he does to an individual who might or might not buy the car.
That's right.
You aren't a customer yet. You haven't decided to buy that car. So you should always have your own mechanic and take it to your own mechanic, and you should have it prearranged.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody should say, no, I don't want you to take a mechanic, what would you think you would do then?
Yeah, what do you do if they said, no, you can't go to your mechanic?
Well, you just go find another car so it plays out. Because that ought to be a big, big flag going off.
Right, dude. We got to look these red flags.
That's right. Yeah. You got to make note of them. I know people, and I've done this myself. Okay, I had a car lot. I went to auction, got all caught up in it.
Yeah.
And the auction car's going through there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people bitten on them.
Oh, they bitten on that car. They're scratching their nose.
I want that car. Yeah. I want it so bad. And then I end up paying more, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 more than what I want.
Wow.
And then there's some problem with it that I got to fix it.
Hmm.
You know? So people, it's an emotional thing buying a car.
Yeah, you're right. And then we got to be careful with that.
That's right.
Emotion to get in.
That's right. You know, you got to realize, you know, I can understand.
So don't get too attached to sentimental emotional with that car, and
that's
more
right.
So than your own wife.
Yeah. Definitely if your wife's there, because you might have to pay a price for that on the way home. So you want to make sure that you just realize that in Dallas you can get lots of that same car every place. Now, I might understand a little more
mm-hmm.
if you were in Bug Tussle, Arkansas, or someplace like that,
mm-hmm.
where there's only one car dealership for 50 miles, maybe, or something like that, or it's hard to find a car. But still, you just don't get emotionally attached to anything. It's not your car yet. You get the report from the mechanic, and then you go back and talk to the people. So you're talking to the person or the car dealership, either one, and say, you know, that window on the passenger side, my mechanic tells me it's going to be $150 to fix that. He says the Freon's low. These things are problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, the dealership has several options. The dealership could say, well, we aren't going to fix a single thing. If they do, you got to decide whether you want to buy it or not. Or they could say, we're going to have our mechanics take care of that. There'll be no cost for you, and we'll do that. If you're going to buy the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, now the individual could say, I'm not fixing any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not dropping the price, and you have to decide then whether you want to or not.
Yes.
Because if they don't drop the price, then that means you're going to have to pay to get that stuff done. So you got to decide, is that car, that 2005 Honda, I only wanted to pay $10,000 for it. Now the guy won't even come down from $12,000, and he's not going to fix anything. Is that really what I want to do?
Yes.
And those are the type of decisions that you have to kind of make and decide. Let me say one thing for sure that everyone ought to realize. You can always walk away.
You can always walk away.
You always walk away. Hey, yeah, have you wasted a lot of time by doing this and walking away?
Wow.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think you're wasting anything either. I think that's the smartest thing to do. But let me ask you, Steve, do you think all of us that own cars, each of us should have know a good mechanic, or at least know one or two good mechanics?
Yes, you should know one or two good mechanics.
Even if you have a brand new car, don't you think it's still be in your interest to have a good mechanic?
Well, you know, if not anything else, you can tell your friends who don't have a brand new car, hey, my mechanic does this over here. He can help you out. You can help other people out. But you always want to have a mechanic around, because that brand new car is only going to be new for how long?
You're right. It's new as long once you drive it off the car lot. And it's also appreciated.
That's right. And if you're talking about a new car, that's a different scenario than a used car.
Yes.
If you're talking about a new used car, yeah, it's a new car to you, but someone else had it before. You know, no matter how things check out, okay?
Okay.
You can. I'll give you a perfect example. A couple years ago,
yeah,
I bought my dad a 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Town and Country minivan, because he wanted leather seats in a minivan, and it's the only one we could find that had leather seats in it, because he's an old guy.
Uh-huh.
He's in his 80s when he was driving, and he liked the leather because you could slide in and out of the seat easier, and most cars with leather seats have heated seats and everything like that. So we found a one below, $1,200 below,
mm-hmm.
NADA at a car dealership, and bought it. We took it to his mechanic, had it checked out. Everything checked out fine. Well, 7 months after we bought it, the air conditioner went out.
Oh, no.
$2,000 to fix it, but it's about $1,200 to fix the air on that, $1,200, $1,500, because in newer cars, they have to tear out the dash in a van to get to the stuff to change it. It was some device in the dash that was causing the problem, but we told them, charge the air conditioner, make sure it doesn't leak and all that stuff at the same time.
Yeah.
So even though you do all of this, does that guarantee things won't happen? No, because why? It's a used car.
So we gotta take that into consideration. Remember that word used.
That's right. Used means it's been used and had miles put on it, and there's things that nobody can verify that might go wrong. Do you have a better chance of getting a car that has less problems if you do this? Yes, I sincerely believe that.
Now, I do have some friends, Steve. They highly recommend going to a rental dealership or getting a rental car and purchase one of those. And I want to ask you why you're here. Even though this is a nice car, it looks great, it's been used as a rental car, should we be concerned with the mileage that's on those cars?
Well, you know, I've contemplated doing that, but
mm-hmm.
I've never done it.
Yes.
And what I've heard from other people say,
mm-hmm.
some people I know say they don't really want to do a rental because, I mean, people rent those cars.
Yeah.
A lot of people rent those cars, and some people rent those cars. It's not their car when they're renting it.
That's true.
And they drive it fast.
Yeah.
They don't. You know, on one hand, they drive it fast, maybe abuse it, don't really take care of it. But then on the other hand, when the car comes back into the shop, it's supposed to be checked and make sure that all the fluids are correct and they do regular maintenance on it or not. So in my opinion, you don't have, you know, this or the other thing. You know, yeah, it might have been abused by people, but yes, it probably had regular maintenance. So I would just say if you check it out and you like it.
Okay.
Another, the last thing we could talk about, and I kind of missed this earlier, is you could do a Carfax. A Carfax is a situation where you can put in the VID number, and for a fee, the Carfax people will run a check on the VID number, and what they do is they check whether there's been any insurance claims on that VID number. So that tells you whether it's been in a wreck or not. Is it bad to have a used car that's been in a wreck? I personally don't think so if it was fixed right.
Yeah.
You know, but you might want to look at the wreck. I mean, if the car's worth $10,000 and they did $8,500 worth of repair, that's a pretty big wreck. Did they get everything?
Yeah, because sometimes those wrecks can cause things that can happen on down the road to the car if it's pretty severe, right?
That's right. Now, I bought probably 10 cars.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, last year I bought 4 cars myself and drove them and resold them.
Yeah.
Okay, from buying them.
Mm-hmm.
Did I do a Carfax on any of those? No. I just looked at the body. If it looked good, it was fine because it's a used vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
things could happen to it.
Okay. Yeah, you know.
So it's just up to that individual. If they want to spend that money, fine. You know, you're going to be paying for money, have a mechanic look at it. You'll be paying money for car crack. All this is good proactive stuff to try to get you a good used car. Once you come to your decision and you buy it, you should have a better chance of getting a decent ride if you do these things.
Have you, I don't know if you've ever run this situation. There was a relative, an uncle, said that he got rid of one of the cars that he had. It was a used car, but he said the car was haunted. Do you think there's a possibility the person could have a car?
A spookmobile.
Yeah.
I've never wanted to haunt a car, though. I think some of them were haunted when they did the stuff they did to me. I could have sworn they had a ghost in pulling parts off or breaking things. But no, I've never run into a haunted house.
Yeah, he said he was headed from work, and he looked over the side of him, and there was a man sitting there with a cigar saying, "How you like my car?" and the guy disappeared, so he said it was time for him to get rid of that car.
I don't blame him. Did he tell that to the person who bought it? Maybe we should include in there, ask if the car is haunted or not.
Yeah.
As another qualifying question. Some people might want a haunted car.
Yeah, that's true. Now, see, what about a... is there anything you want to say to folks that are buying cars for their teenagers or young adults? And, you know, sometimes these young people like to race and do different things. What would you like to advise folks that are going to buy a car?
Well, you really can't stop kids from racing.
Yeah.
You know, you aren't going to be able to. It's all in how they were raised up. And, you know, let's face it, once they got the car and they're on their own, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Of course, you know... selection of what type of car might cause them to be able to go a little less dangerous in what they're doing. For instance, when you compare buying them a used Camaro with a V8 in it compared to a used Honda with a four-cylinder, there's a big difference in horsepower there.
Yes.
So, you know, you really can't stop kids from doing what they do. You can only hope that they will... you've raised them right, and that they're going to do what you ask them to do.
Yes.
But you can diminish some of that impact by making the right choice of the vehicle you want, and hopefully they're okay with that choice.
And let me ask you this. Also in our car selections, do you think you should sometimes consider your body size when you're buying a car? Do you think if, you know, you're a pretty good size individual, would you buy a tiny car that's really uncomfortable for you?
You know, I would not. Some people buy it that don't look like they fit in their cars because of the gas mileage or something. But I personally, you know, I'm an old guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, my car, I have to have a big car. It's easy to get in and out of, you know, like a Crown Victoria. Or like right now I'm driving an Isuzu Grand Vitara because it's a little SUV and it gets better gas mileage, but it's easy to get in and out of.
I agree.
So, you know, all those things.
Yeah, we need choice. Cars done.
Yeah, and choice, all those things should be considered. If you don't have a good idea, you can always go to used car lot and say, I want to try out a car.
Yeah.
You know, and get in and out of some to kind of help you do your selection.
You're right, because I'm looking at, there you are, you're at the railroad track, and your car stops, and the train is coming, and you have this little car, and he's
trying to get out like a two-day game.
That's not a good case.
you're praying that just somebody comes on with a can opener to help you out of the car before that train helps you out.
Well, Steve, I want to, looks like we're almost out of time, but I want to thank you for being a guest on the Mr. Motivator Show today. And I'd like to invite you back again at a future date so we can do some more about the cars, because you've educated us on so much today, and there's still a lot we need to know about the cars. But again, Steve, thank you for coming.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. I enjoyed it.
And for those of you that tuned in with us today, we want to thank you for listening in on our show, and we are going to have some more exciting shows that will be coming to you. So feel free to stay with us, join in with us again, same time next week. And remember, you can be a success if you dare to dream and keep thinking big. you will discover your purpose in life. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. We look forward to being with you again, same time, same place next week. And feel free to check us out on Twitter. That is at See Mr. Motivator. The letter C-I-D, Kyle, M-R-M-O-T-I-V-A-T-O-R. And you can check out my blog, dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. Again, folks, have a great weekend. We love you. And we will see you on the next exciting episode of Mr. Motivator.